So I responded to him as you know, I feel like he should have been able to figure out for himself.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we're talking with Jeremy Stomberg about the business of dying. He recently lost his mother, and it turns out there's a lot of paperwork.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Molly Glover, joined as always by my co-hosts, Tim Wick.
Wah, wah.
And Nick Glover.
Oh, hello.
Oh, good Lord. And we're here with, prepare your alcohol, Jeremy Stomberg. Wow.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
You've been drinking all day.
I have not been drinking all day.
Just all night and then the evening.
Okay, so today is New Year's Day that we are recording this on.
Maybe
I might have been drinking all last night and am having the third bottle of champagne we didn't get to because we didn't go to the party we planned.
That's right.
So
we
brought this champagne. So we have champagne.
Yeah, we're making Tim
cheers,
drink.
Cheers, everyone. Here.
Yeah, here.
Oh, God.
No one's going to be able to hear this, but why not? All right, cheers.
Happy New Year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we're not here to talk about New Year's, Jeremy.
That's a different episode.
Yeah, we're not here to talk about New Year's. We're here to talk about the super fun comedy podcast topic of your mom died.
Yeah, it's true.
I'm sorry to hear that.
We're sorry for your loss.
She was super cool.
Yeah.
She was super cool.
I never met your mom, or I think I met your mom once at your wedding.
Yeah. She was totally there.
She was there.
I should hope so.
Can confirm.
It's kind of an ideal.
But Jeremy is now an orphan.
Yeah, it's true.
And as a result, had to deal with all this stuff on his own with his brother. I mean, in that sense, with your sibling family.
Yeah, it ends up, because I'm the oldest, so it's the natural sort of thing where
it just kind of falls to
the oldest.
Falls to the oldest, that's
just
very true.
The brothers, it's just the two of you, right?
Yeah, that's, and then we have a couple, and then we're both married.
Ugh.
God.
It's okay.
No, that was for them.
Absolutely.
For the spouses.
Yeah, poor spouses.
And then we have a couple of folks that we consider our brothers who were exchange students when we were in high school.
Oh, yeah,
and,
sure.
My parents have pretty much adopted them. And they, you know, one of them, Paulo from Brazil, has he lived with them for quite a while. That was well brought up.
Pardon me. Too bad I wasn't.
And Tolga from Turkey, I'm kind of the one that has, and I also have the job that allows me to take the most time off.
Your job is an organizational, like, knowing what to do, where to go, place type of job too. You know, like
it is. Yeah. My job is pretty much here's a problem, now solve it. And so that was. So I've been working for 13 years, getting ready for this moment.
People also check out the beat while you revolve it, or
the DJ revolve.
Oh, yeah. Right.
So your mom did not. She didn't die suddenly. She had a long, prolonged illness for a long time.
It was about 2.5 years of just horribleness, of just. Kind of, she had a fall at work, mm-hmm. and she had a fall at work, and she had to have surgery on her left shoulder, and mm-hmm. she never regained full use of that left arm.
Hmm.
And we thought mm-hmm. it was maybe an issue with the surgery; it was some nerve damage. But in reality, it was just weird cosmic luck that it was the first symptom. In this this odd set of diseases that came about and robbed her of use of her arm and then her other arm and her voice and
mm-hmm.
it was pretty bad. It was about I just spoke at her she had another funeral mm-hmm. up north in the small town that she comes from because her. Her dad is still alive. He's 96, and he can't really travel that way anymore.
Yeah, Jesus.
And I likened it to, because I was kind of explaining it to him as, it's like an old cowboy movie. And you see that after everything's done, the hero is on his horse, and he rides away into the sunset, and everybody waves. Only she was, you know, riding away for about 2.5 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
So because of that, there's a lot of, you know, and we were just saying before we started the show, we've done a lot of shows on grieving as an atheist. Jeremy is an atheist, as you all know, and like how that works and the things people might say
death
to you.
Celebrations, like yeah. what an atheist funeral yeah. entails.
Was Carlotta, was she religious?
She was, it's very strange, my family. she was brought up in that kind of northern Minnesotan small town kind of Christianity kind of mm-hmm. thing.
So she was like technically Lutheran, but yeah, not really yeah. practicing.
But you know, my family never went to my extended family never really went to services other than you know the funerals and weddings and the mm-hmm. like.
Right.
Primarily because they were farmers and loggers.
Occasional baptism, maybe.
Not really. So much. Yeah, yeah. Because they were farmers and loggers, and you can't take, you know, Sundays aren't a special day. The cows still have to be
right.
milked. You yeah. can't just take time out to go somewhere else to do something else.
Thanks a lot, Jesus.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
I thought the cows would rest on Sunday.
You think so?
What the hell?
The cows yeah. are fucking pagans.
Holy cow.
They are yeah. jackasses. Yeah. Wait, no, they're cows.
But I mean, that's kind of the reason that my family has always gotten together on for a Christmas kind of gift swapping thing mm-hmm. on Christmas Eve, just because there it was all, you know, even the Christian folks they were busy Christmas morning.
Yeah.
So the time that it was easier to all head over to the head of the family's kind of larger house. Larger ranch was on the night before. So yeah, so she was she's a member of a Unitarian yeah. society here in town.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And
so there isn't like, I guess what my main question yeah. is, there isn't some pastor who's trying to drive things.
No.
I know we've had friends who lost, you know, their parents mm-hmm. and what ends up happening is there's some local mm-hmm. pastor at their local church that is, you know, really the driving force behind all the funerary arrangements mm-hmm. and what's said at the services and stuff like that, but that's not really
no,
the case.
Yeah. It's going to be very similar to what we did for my dad's service 8 years ago. But I think we're just going to do it bigger.
Yeah.
we've taken what we learned and we're increasing the production quality.
Yes. Yeah.
That's what
the
you do.
The sequel has to outpace
it does,
the original.
It does.
It's got to be bigger.
Why are butts in seats?
Exactly. the current minister at her Unitarian Society is fantastic. She's super cool. She's the perfect level of can I help? She's willing to jump in and help and do anything that is requested of her, but is also totally willing to back off when needed. And the little mini service that we just had on Friday, we were kind of setting it up. The morning that she passed, I decided that I was going to drive up. It's about a 3-hour drive up north to tell her childhood best friend and her dad in mm-hmm. person
mm-hmm.
Because it's not something we
it's
want
not
on the phone call.
News. Yeah, yeah. yeah.
So when I was up there, one of her siblings asked if we would mind if. My brother and I would mind if they had another service up there for her.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, no, you know, knock yourself out. Do whatever you need to do, and we'll try and be there. But you got to understand, it's not going to be our number one priority.
Right.
And luckily, all four kids were able to get there, which is nice. But they were asking about music, and I was like, well, her two favorite songs in the world. are Cat Stevens' Morning Has Broken.
Okay.
Which is, it's a great song.
It's a great song.
Sure. It's a good funeral song, actually.
And, it is, actually, yeah. Yeah.
And I can't remember the guy's name, but it was so popular in the 80s.
Michael Jackson.
Nope. Lady in Red. You remember this song?
It's his first name is Eric. I don't remember his last name, but it's a one-hit wonder.
I don't know.
It's a one-hit wonder. Yeah, Lady in Red.
Yeah.
Lady in Red.
is dancing with me.
He's dancing with me.
And,
cheek to cheek. That's great.
And
it's another good funeral song, I think.
No, it isn't. Chris DeBerg.
Oh, Chris DeBerg. We were both almost right.
That's been our. That's kind of been our whole 20-year relationship.
Yeah, Eric DeBarge, Chris DeBerg, sure.
Anyway, so
she played those songs.
So I actually the night before she passed, I was visiting with her in her assisted living center, and I played her those two songs on my phone, and I said, "Hey, Mom, remember when you wanted my brother and I to sing 'Morning Has Broken' at your funeral?" And she started laughing, which is good, because she couldn't speak anymore, but she could laugh.
Yeah.
You know, her mind was all there.
Yeah.
And her eyes were, you know, it was very
She's
expressive.
She's making a laughing face. Yeah.
And it was a story that I told at this funeral, and I'm sure I'll tell it at the January one as well. So this is a little spoiler.
Ooh, oh no, a teaser.
Exclusive.
Classic theater.
I'm probably going to be out of town. I won't be.
Yeah.
My brother and I.
It's good for you.
Yeah. My brother and I were both in a large boys choir when we were
a like choir for large boys.
We were kind of shrimps, actually. It was just there were a large number of people in the choir.
It's not the St. Paul's Husky Boy Choir.
What was the boys choir?
It was the Metropolitan Boys Choir.
I was in the Metropolitan Boys Choir about 15 years before you.
15 years?
Maybe about 10.
Maybe 10.
Yeah, maybe 10.
Yeah, maybe 10. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was thinking it was probably the same boys choir.
B-Speed Hassel.
Yes, B-Speed.
Who was Prince's elementary school music teacher.
I did not know that. Yeah. But I was too young at the time.
So are you going to ODM Bills at 54?
He was 58.
Oh,
and,
all right.
And no.
All right. So, Tim, Bills?
I got time.
Much closer to 58?
I'm close to 58. I'll start thinking about it.
All right. Just saying. Legacy.
Think it over.
But so my mom, when my brother and I were very young, she said, "Oh, you know, you're in the boys' choir. At my funeral, I'd love you to sing 'Morning Has Broken.'" And first of all, it's weird that it's weird that you say that to a child.
Right? Maybe like 10?
Yeah, about that. And because you don't think your mom's gonna die,
no.
You know?
Right.
That's weird, and it's, I'm sure that gave me a lot of complexes. But But then
also, it's kind of a weird ask in general. Yeah. Like, even
my mom did this stuff to
like,
us.
Even just for not a kid. Like,
I'm sure she
as
thought,
an adult, that's weird. It's a little.
I'm sure she thought it was a compliment.
My mom, my mom also did these sorts of things. Yeah.
And it's, hey, I have a favor to ask of you because you're so good at whitewashing that fence.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But around about 2 years later, about 12 and a half, when my voice started changing, my mom went out of her way to say, "You know, you don't have to sing 'Morning Has Broken' at my funeral." So I played both songs for her, and I said, "Hey, you know, so my brother and I are not going to sing that at your funeral." And she kind of rolled her eyes, and I said, "But we'll play it." And she seemed happy about that.
Yeah, good.
And and then I said, "But Mom, there's no fucking way I'm playing Lady Is Red." And she laughed at that. So that was.
So good. Now you're definitely gonna play it, right?
No, its song is ass.
So,
but it's her song, Jeremy.
No, it's Chris DeBerge's song. You can't make a dead woman responsible for that piece of trash. So anyway, so they said, "Well, what's your favorite songs?" And I said, "Oh, it's these two songs, but we'd probably want to play this. We'd rather want to play 'Morning Is Broken.'" And you know what? She actually really liked, and it's another song that people of a certain age have different feelings about because of late night infomercials.
Okay,
is Sarah McLachlan's "Arms of an Angel"?
Oh yeah,
oh, boy.
That's a great song.
I loved that song.
I loved
it's a song that just makes people sad about animals now.
Yeah.
That's why it's perfect for a funeral.
Yeah.
Commercial ruined my song. Fuck
so
you.
Yeah, so we played that song, and then I have to I'm pulling out my phone here because there was a there was some sort. Let's see here. There was a conversation between myself and one of my aunts.
All right.
About this, and let's see. So they
it's
were,
great radio.
Great radio.
Thank you.
Podcast
they,
magic.
They said, hey, my aunt said, hey, we'd like to play these two songs. Can you make sure that you bring them up on CD?
Yeah.
Absolutely, sure. Also, there's another song that we'd like to play, and it's called blah, blah, blah. I don't remember the name of it, by a band called Mercy Me. And I said... I am unaware of that song, but let me look it up.
Yeah.
And I looked it up, and Mercy Me is apparently a very, like, DC Talk Newsboys kind
oh,
of Jesus-y
boy.
Song. You know.
A Christian rock group.
Yeah, yeah. And I said, I responded to it right away. And I'm trying to keep the peace between
sure.
the Trump-loving relatives up north.
Of course.
And us.
Oh,
and
fun times.
And I said, you know, I'd never heard of that song, but I looked up the lyrics, and I don't really think that's Mom.
Nice.
And she said, oh, okay, yeah, that's
good.
Fine.
Good.
So that was the extent of kind of pushing towards something.
So besides arranging the music and having these tough conversations about, you know, details like that, there's a lot of business.
There's a lot of
dying.
Paperwork.
There's
oh,
a lot of paperwork.
Goodness.
And yeah. So what you were telling me when we saw you guys right after you got back, you were mm-hmm. saying there was some that your mom did some stuff that actually helped a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to say, though, that I'm super mm-hmm. interested in this because, you know, my mom is actually not near death or anything, mm-hmm. but as the oldest child and the only one
yep.
in town,
yep.
I know that at some point I'm going to have to deal with this.
Yeah, it's all going to be me too.
Because my dad died 30 years ago. Yeah. I didn't have to deal with any of that shit when my dad died.
Well, not financially at least.
Yeah.
Well, and you probably wouldn't even have to anyway, even if he died now, because your mom is
because
there.
Because my mom would probably
have dealt with
it.
And your mom would be taking care of most of it.
But anyway, so I'm very fascinated by this.
Yeah. So basically when my dad died back in 2010, there was a lot of paperwork to do there. And that was a lot of, you know, Social Security, mm-hmm. Pension, life insurance.
Yeah. Yeah.
All sorts of stuff. Changing vehicles to be in one,
oh,
from
yep.
one name to another.
Titles. Yeah, yeah.
Houses. Yep. All sorts yep. of stuff. And my mom and I spent a lot of time and a lot of money dealing with this.
Yeah.
And it was really rough because you're already reeling from the fact that your dad got sick and died in 3 weeks.
I was gonna say, your dad died so suddenly that there's no, I mean, that's, it was like a slow motion car crash more than anything, really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's just, you have to keep on keeping on and you have to keep on doing all this busy work basically
mm-hmm.
that you don't normally do in your life. And so that Christmas, my mom went behind our backs, and what she did is she gave my wife and I and my brother's wife and him a Christmas card. And we, you know, at family opening presents time.
Christmas.
That's what I'm told it's called. So we open it, and there's a little, you know, there's a little card in a sleeve. And we're like, oh, so she got us a gift card for something. Where am I going to go? Where am I going to eat?
Right.
And
go see a movie.
And it says, Washburn McCreevy Funeral Homes. And she said, literally, she said, so when I kick... just call that number and they'll take care of everything.
That's so Carlotta.
Yeah. So I called that number and they took care of everything. It was actually pretty great.
Like everything.
Like just title
everything.
Transfers and all that
no,
other stuff.
No, no, no.
Yeah.
Everything is in everything relating to a all of a sudden you have a there's a dead body.
You've got a dead body.
You have to get rid of a dead body somehow.
They're the fixer.
Yes, yes, they are. They're
consigliere.
The Winston Wolf.
Yeah.
Yeah, they called the wolf. That's great.
And they were super fun. They were super fantastic. She died in her room at her assisted living center,
mm-hmm.
and we went in and talked to the nurses who were hanging out and the hospice people who showed up, and then we called them and said, hey, can we need this. We need her picked up. And
mm-hmm.
we said, okay, how much time do you need? It's like, oh, I hadn't thought about that. And my wife and my brother's wife was able to get there right away.
Mm-hmm.
And but my brother, he's an engineer, like a railroad engineer. And they're not allowed to have phones, cell phones, which is good because I cross train tracks all the time.
And yeah.
Yeah.
You don't get him distracted.
So, so his wife had to, you know, call the yard master and get him on the radio and stuff. And it took him a long time to actually get there. So we just said, all right, why don't you hold off until say like 5 o'clock tonight? That'll give a lot of time for him to get there.
Yeah.
But no, then we next day we went to one of their chapels and they said, okay, so, your mom has, put this much money into this, and she has budgeted this much for renting a space for the service, and this much for a minister, this much for music.
That's amazing.
This much for an obituary. She's prepaid for her for the cremation. My dad was in the army, so she gets a free plot at, out of the next to him at the military cemetery. She prepaid for that urn right there and points over our shoulders at this pretty but not ostentatious urn, and she says, no, you don't have to stick to that. You can move the money around however you want, but that's how much she's put in here.
Yeah.
And that was just a total weight off our shoulders because we're not destitute. We have good jobs and we're not in real debt or anything. So we could have handled it. It'd be tough and it'd be expensive. But...
Yeah. But it's also hard to sit there with a list of options and be like, which one forever? Which one would you want forever?
Right. Yep.
I'm dealing with all the emotions here on everything else, but I also have to choose this and doubt myself and all that. And this just takes it out of your hands because you know exactly what she wants. She wants this.
Yep.
Yeah.
For better or for worse, if you're like, God, seriously? Like, okay, sure, this, I guess. Like,
yeah.
But then there's also, so that was easy and that was great. Mm-hmm. And I would highly recommend if you actually care about anyone in your life that will be around after you're gone, that's going to have to deal with all your stuff. I would highly recommend if you have the ability to do so, to at least look at that.
Well, and make a will too. This is something that Nick and I, we're doing this year because you can do it with your taxes pretty simply when you do your taxes with any of the services online. So I think we're just going to we need to, because if you don't have a will, there's like the government can take large portions of your income because it can say like it goes to no one. I guess it goes to us.
Yeah.
So it's really dumb.
So there's a lot. Yeah. So there's a lot of other stuff. Like I had mentioned, she had a pension from one of her longtime jobs, and she had a couple of life insurance policies. She had, and then you have to cancel Social Security.
Right.
And
right.
So it's a whole lot of.
Of phone calls, I bet.
A lot of phone calls.
A lot of forms.
A lot of forms to fill out. This one life insurance company just sent me a form to fill out, and it says, because my brother and I are 50% each beneficiaries, we each have to fill out a separate form, but they, of course, include one form.
Oh, sure. And, so they say
must be an original, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's not super bizarre, but
life insurance companies don't want to be in the business of paying out money.
No insurance company does. That's not what they go into insurance for.
Yeah,
but all in all, there's people and there's companies that have made things easy, and there's people and companies that have made things hard. For instance, Subaru Motors Finance. Would not want to purchase a vehicle through them.
And that was when she was alive, right? You had to deal with all that title transfer stuff
and am I wrong or is it 1985?
It's not 1985.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Today.
Which is
if it was 1985, my dad would still be alive.
There you go. Which is weird because there are a number of companies that will only take things via fax.
Yeah, that's weird.
Oh my God.
Do they need two mimeos of it, or can you like?
And I'll say, well, can I email this to you? So, oh no, we don't have email for security purposes.
When
a fax comes in, it's either on this little hopper, which anybody can just grab something, or it's in a folder
yeah.
in on some server where, depending on who's got permission,
yeah.
anybody
yeah.
can go in there.
You guys know the fax is just email over the phone line, right?
Like, not even. Not even. It's not encrypted at all.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah.
There's
that's,
no,
that's the biggest worse. Load of bullshit I've ever heard in my life.
Anyone who owns a phone knows that there's no security in relying on what number it says on the caller ID incoming. Anyone could send a fax saying anything, pretending yep, faxes, to be anyone.
Faxes were developed in the 19th century.
Yeah.
Literally. I mean, it's great.
It's like going to a chiropractor.
Timmy, you said something very interesting. Thing just now.
Did I? Just now?
You did.
It's taken this many years of our knowing each other?
You said, that's the most ridiculous thing.
Oh, wait.
Oh, no.
I'd like to say that's not the most ridiculous
thing. I'm sorry. I misspoke.
The most ridiculous thing so far, because we're not done yet, but the most ridiculous thing so far was me trying to pay off her power bill.
Oh, geez.
We had sold her house about a month prior to her passing. And so we had one more power bill to pay.
Sure.
I'm her power of attorney. I'm on her
power of attorney.
You think that'd make it even easier?
It's a comedy podcast.
And I have full access to and use of her all of her bank accounts
yeah,
and things like
yep,
that.
Yep.
And it should have been really super easy. So I call the fine folks at XL Energy and say, hey, I'd like to pay off this bill. Oh, are you Carlotta? I am not Carlotta Stomberg.
Right.
I'm her son. She's passed away. If you really need a death certificate, I can get that to you.
Yep.
Oh no. We can just pay this off. It's this much, and I'll just need your social security number. And I said, well, her social security number ends in blah 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 blah. And so, I need your social security.
Business. No, you
don't. I don't think that's true.
Yeah.
I'm just giving you money.
Yeah.
And then
you
we're going
to
close off
online,
this.
Even.
We're
going to
close out this account. To which I often do, I snotted about it on Twitter.
Well, yeah, that's what Twitter's for.
And and XL Energy responded saying that we ask for your social security number for your protection and for your security.
Oh, for your protection.
Because the more people that have your social security number, the more secure it is.
Also, only
it's in the name.
Mine, so if someone else says mine, then they obviously have the ability
obviously
to spend my money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeremy, if it's not private security number, it's a social security number. It's meant to
everyone.
Be shared socially.
It's for everyone.
But they didn't want you to.
Disease. Yeah.
That's why you post pictures of it on Facebook and Twitter.
So did you actually manage to get this bill paid?
Yeah. Yeah, by being obstinate.
No question.
Sure.
Did your mom have any of this stuff set up online?
She did.
Yeah.
And she was paying a number of bills online.
Mm-hmm.
But by the time that we figured all of this out.
Yeah.
She had fully lost the ability to speak and mostly lost the ability to even write.
Right.
With the right hand. So she communicating for a long time was her taking a very long time to write out words and
mm-hmm.
sentences. And the problem with my mom is she's super polite. And so she would start writing, would you please,
oh, for
if it's not too much trouble, I wish I was lying, but she would, but.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
That was what she wasted the last of her writing ability on, was being polite.
I love it. That is so.
Like, instead of just like cold. Or blanket.
Yeah.
Just like,
right?
Yep.
Would you please, if you didn't stop too much bother.
Lunch ? And said, would you please consider doing me the honor of preparing me a meal?
Are you feeling hungry right now?
If so, I could also eat if you would. That's great.
One for yes, two for no.
So the reason I asked about online stuff is because it seemed like with that last XL Energy thing, like, I mean, anyone... I could log in to my Team Glover, whatever, Comcast account, and using my mom's credit card, pay that off, right? Mm-hmm. Like, she could pay my bill.
Sure.
So I wonder if it almost would be easier to make sure anybody who's listening who has elderly parents or someone in their life who's sick to maybe get that stuff set up online with the passwords, you know, because then you can go pay all those bills as anyone.
Yeah.
Just get the, and then I think it's easier to call and be like, close the accounts, you know.
So many different companies were dicks that I just decided to do is, this is, you know, a couple months before she passed, is not pay anything and just see how that worked.
Yeah. I mean,
because, make them come after you.
Because what are they going to do? They're, you know, this is a now, you know, 70-year-old woman who is dying, and they're not going to hurt her credit score.
Right, right.
You know, she no longer owns a house. I sold her house.
Right.
She's not going to.
They've got no recompense.
Loan. Yeah.
Yeah.
They can eventually come after her next of kin.
Oh, sure. Maybe.
But, like, you don't have to take on someone else's debts. Like, that's not a.
No, but if there's money left over,
it's
they
basically,
can.
Sure, it's right. Basically, they don't go after Jeremy's money. They go back after the estate's money.
Or anything, anything inherited.
Yeah.
Right. When my dad died, he died in Austria. Mm-hmm. And it took an extra 2 weeks to get him home because he had to go through probate in Austria. They had to make sure that he didn't owe any money in Austria before he could return, his body could be returned to America.
So they held his corpse hostage.
They did.
Wow.
To make sure that his debts were paid.
They held his corpse hostage to make sure he didn't have any debts in Austria.
What would
That's
happen
all they
if you
cared
didn't
about.
Care about his corpse? I mean, like, if it was just like, if he had debts in Austria and you were like, whatever.
Go to some Potter's
can honestly
there.
Say I don't know the answer to that question.
Yeah, that's weird. I can't. Yeah. It's just such a strange
but
thing.
But yeah, so that part, I know that it's like if there's outstanding debt, then they'll go after stuff like the health the life insurance and stuff like that, because that's technically not your money until all the debts that her estate has are settled.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just
there's a lot of business.
But they don't make it easy to settle it.
No.
Right.
And it's they should make it really fucking simple because you just lost somebody you cared about.
And that's what it was too, because you know, we've been dealing with her kind of slow demise for about a year. So she was ill.
It's been really bad about a year.
It's been really bad about a year when we've basically had to start taking care of everything. And she, when we would be up there, because one or two of the kids would be up every single day, just to help her. She was living on her own, and she was able to do so for quite some time until she decided that she
it's
wasn't.
Just kind
which
of
is
this
good.
Summer, right?
Yeah, in May. And there would be phone calls from people from companies all the time because she was. She wasn't able to talk on the phone anymore. She didn't have the fine motor skills to pay bills on her computer or even on the phone anymore. So when they would call, they would ask for her, and I would say, "Well, she's not available. Can I take a message?" And they say, "Well, we'll have to call back later." And I would say, "Well, unfortunately, you know." And I ended up being being kind of like. Very Minnesotan and guarded, and it's none of your business. But eventually, I just came out and said, my mother has a degenerative illness. She can no longer speak. I'm taking care of her bills and things. How can I help you?
Yeah.
And there are people that would say, oh, okay, I'm sorry. Here's what we need from you.
Right.
But there are other people who just refuse to do anything. I said, well, okay, I assume that you are probably maybe from a credit card company or some other creditor. We're happy to pay any of her bills, anything that she owes. She has money. We're happy to pay that, but you have to tell us how we can do that. And there are right now two credit cards and one other weird debt that she had that they have stopped calling.
Yeah.
They've stopped. I've given them my home phone number. I've given them my email address to.
They might not be legitimate. Are you thinking about all the
one
times?
One is from Chase Bank, so
no,
I think that's
But that's the thing is sometimes, like there was. Nick had some Verizon cell phone debt that was not legitimate.
Yeah.
That was being chased by. it got sold to three different banks. And every time the debt got sold, that bank would then start a new, flurry of phone calls to try to get it back from him.
Yeah.
And he'd be like, I didn't ever have an account. Yeah. Like, you can't.
I have never
send
had
me the
a...
documents. Send yeah. me like, the shit with my signature
like,
on it.
Tell you what.
I did this.
Give me a phone number that I had with yep. your company. yep. And I'll,
any of that.
Yeah.
And they couldn't do it. And they would eventually stop calling, or they would look into it, and yeah. then it would go nowhere, and then his debt would get sold. That debt would get sold with a bunch of other debt to some yeah. other bank.
Because they wouldn't clear it.
And then right. they would call and be like, oh, wow. we're going to be the guy. We're going to be the ones that gets this guy for this $84. Like.
Yeah, I fought it. I had to get the police involved and shit. Like, it was wow. so fucking bureaucratic nonsense.
Has this experience with your mom in mm-hmm. particular, but also with your dad, uh-huh. and has it made you do anything differently with your current plans or mm-hmm. your current, like, what do you have in place? You know, anything like that?
Well, I went and I hadn't gone to the doctor for a while, and I went to the
yeah. You started know, eating spinach.
I started eating spinach.
That I can literally astounding. Attest to this. I watched Jeremy Stomberg yeah. eat a bowl of spinach.
It happens. It's more. I think that we're kind of waiting to do anything until this final service is done
mm-hmm.
because there's just so much work. Because I have two shows this weekend.
Yeah, it's not like it's not a busy time of year, yeah, both for holidays and theater.
Yeah.
It's not like life. Stops.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
not like you get to put everything on hold.
Yeah. No. Your obligations are still there.
But
yeah.
it's certainly something that my wife and I have talked about. What we did for Christmas is we gave my brother and his wife a
business card from Washington.
a fire safe, like a document fire
oh, yeah.
safe.
Yep.
And we and a key to our fire safe.
Nice.
And
smart.
We just said, okay, our fire safe is in this room. So
yep.
if anything happens, you can get
over
there.
My computer,
yep.
delete my internet history, and then go to the fire safe and take out all my classic 70s porn and save it. That's what you need.
Okay.
That's
all
what
right.
you need.
All right. All right. Thanks
all
right. for that tip.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. All right. All right. It's time
that's
for
Molly's
five
living
questions.
Will.
yeah. It's time for five questions.
Hey.
Jeremy, thank you very much. That was really uplifting is not
yeah.
the word, but kind of. I mean, just
enlightening.
Like, knowing yeah. that your mom like did all that stuff for you guys is
yeah.
really great. And
yeah.
that she was, and I think that if more people in this country in particular mm-hmm. could be just cooler with the fact that like literally the one thing we all do is die.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
like for sure. For sure.
I've also been told from a very authoritative source that everyone poops.
Oh yeah.
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 My
yeah.
mom
I
keeps
read that
telling
paper.
Me keeps telling me she's gonna pre plan her funeral, but mm-hmm. I don't know if she's done it yet. And I think that one thing that we can all do is, you know, well, hey, let me help you with that,
yeah.
Mom. Let me
and
help
it's hard
because
I imagine, I mean, my mom is always like, what are you TikToking me over here about it?
Well,
but like,
yeah, and to be fair, what we did
to be fair,
to be fair,
what we a few years back, I had dinner with my mom and I said, hey, Mom. here's something that you really need to do.
Yeah.
You need to make sure that I am the only beneficiary on
the will.
Your will. that sounds a little
no.
shady.
So
go on, Littlefinger, go on.
my brother has three kids, two of which have had substantial medical issues
yes.
growing up, and so they had. Some a lot of medical debt,
mm-hmm.
and we wanted to make sure that that all the kids were taken care of.
Yeah.
So whenever we figure out how much money is left after everything, you know, we're gonna go and we're gonna set up some accounts for the kids that they can you know have when they're 25 or whatever.
Right. Right.
It's like, wouldn't it be cool if I were 25 and I had enough money for a new car or a down payment on a house
yeah,
or
it
something?
Yeah, it was cool.
It would be, yeah. it's just such a leg
I spent
up.
Mine on drugs, but it was really cool.
Oh. I'll add that to the list. On
yeah.
you might spend your money on.
You could, but you pay capital gains tax on it. So just remember, you're paying capital gains tax on drugs. That's good. So, all right. Thank you again.
You're welcome.
You haven't answered our most recent five questions.
I haven't.
It's
very,
very
excited.
That is the
yes.
weirdest thing.
What was the weirdest thing?
That he hasn't answered if the question.
Oh, I thought it was, I thought, so Jim just like had a dramatic cough, and then I thought you were going to say that was the weirdest thing, like something just made something, you have just, a dramatic cough.
I just coughed a Lego guy hand.
I just coughed up food I hadn't eaten in 5 years.
Like a ghost flew down your throat, and like, that was the weirdest thing.
That would be pretty weird.
That'd be weird.
That'd be unexpected.
Nick, question number one.
Question number one, Jeremy, what conspiracy theory do you find the most interesting or compelling?
Okay. You're gonna think I'm nuts.
Too late.
You're gonna think I'm more nuts.
Okay.
I read this in a zine 20 years ago.
Ooh.
And it has stuck with me just because it's so crazy off the wall. Sirhan did not assassinate Robert F. Kennedy.
Oh.
It was Rosie Grier who assassinated RFK. As part of MK Ultra mind control, all that all that crazy bullshit, you know.
Rosie Grier,
the football player who was one of the toughest men in the NFL, and then all of a sudden started writing needlepoint books, and started to and
the reason for that is because he assassinated Robert Kennedy.
No, it's
an after effect of the mind control.
Once they activated him with his code word, mm-hmm. When they told him that there were three flowers in the vase and the
now is the time for all good men to come to the aid of their party.
Exactly, yeah. He went and shot Robert F. Kennedy, and then immediately was like needlepoint.
And then you can pick up a copy of Rosie Grier's Needlepoint for Men at any reputable shop.
You know what else causes sudden changes in personality? Concussions. Multiple sustained concussions.
But I'm sorry, Rosie Grier was in the NFL.
Oh,
the NFL would not allow.
They
wouldn't let their players play on Sunday.
Thank you. That's a good point, Jerry.
All right, Tim,
question number two. What is your perfect 2-week vacation? Money is no object, but physics is a limiting factor.
So I just spent a month on a train. And I had a great time.
Okay, but that was a month.
That was a month.
Toot, toot.
No.
Was your brother the engineer?
Oh. He was not. He drives a freight train. So this is a
people
train. I don't get into his personal life. I had a sabbatical from work, and I went, I got on an Amtrak and just kind of traveled around and hung out with friends,
friend of the show, Robert Cargill.
I stayed at his and Jess's house for a week.
And friend of the show, Joseph Scrimshaw, I believe.
Helped him paint his garage.
He went on a Geek Without God guest tour of America.
That's true. You'll have to have my friend Megatron from Seattle on. It'll be great. But I think what I do the same thing, but in Europe. Get on trains. And I really enjoyed it because I love traveling and I love seeing new places, but I also hate kind of the teleportation aspect of you get into an airport someplace and you see clouds.
Yeah.
And then you land somewhere else. You don't actually see the land going by.
If it was going to be teleportation, it should be faster.
Yeah, exactly.
Otherwise, I want to take my time and see stuff.
And there should be less security.
Warmer hands.
That's awesome.
But I got to go through the Rockies and the Cascades and the desert.
Was it like a 1-month Amtrak pass, or did you have to buy individual tickets?
I ended up buying individual tickets because it ended up being cheaper.
Okay.
And you also, the Amtrak, the month passes are like, they're like a basic economy.
Oh, okay.
Plane, so you're the first to get bumped.
Oh.
There's a limited number of seats available for
We're going to buy that sleeper car next time, right?
I am. I tried to upgrade to a sleeper car on my last run just because sitting and sleeping is fine for like one night, but two nights is terrible.
It's terrible.
Rail is such a big thing in Europe. And in Eurail passes in Europe, you can literally just go fucking anywhere.
When we stayed in Amsterdam, we didn't stay in Amsterdam. We stayed in a town about an hour and a half outside of Amsterdam. So we took the train into Amsterdam, and that was really fun being on that train.
Oh, wait, money's no object. I guess I would be first class tickets, I would stay in great hotels.
There you go. All right, question number three.
Just buy a personal car.
Question number three. What's a movie or book that changed your life and why? And if it's a movie, Tim will be really happy.
Yeah, well, you know, it has to be the most obvious thing for me, which is just Star Wars.
Yeah, it's a movie.
I have my two longest term relationships came about because myself and the women really enjoyed Star Wars. And It. Yeah.
That's what you appreciate about her?
Well, no, like what Star I'm saying Wars. Is that, that's how we got together.
Ah.
Is because our mutual friend Heidi,
yeah.
Who I was with for a long time, she thought I said something bad about Star Wars. She didn't know who I was. She said, "You didn't say anything bad about The Empire Strikes Back, dear, did you?" And I said, "No, so no, ma'am, end. I don't."
Yeah.
It's
great.
Yeah, that's
I
it.
I like that.
Simple.
That's a good one. Tim, question four.
Question number four. What is the geekiest thing you've ever said or done?
I started this little convention.
You started it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was mostly me. And Tim's wife was there. That
yeah.
was cool. Some other folks. But yeah.
Like some
friend
some,
of the show, Pat Wick. Is
wasn't there somebody
about?
Who was like sort of good at drawing?
No, Wendy's really not very good at drawing at all.
Virtually everybody you started the convention with is a friend of the show.
It's true.
Except for not friend of the show, Ishmael Williams.
Yeah.
Oh, it's
yeah.
terrible.
Yeah.
He's never been on the
podcast. He's never been on. Question five, Nick.
Question five. Jeremy, what's your favorite hangover cure?
Mexican Coke.
Okay.
A cola. And complete darkness.
Ah.
Legitimately, though, my eyebrows went up. I was like, what? And I was all like, Jeremy.
No.
It's because of the...
It's Colombian.
Because it's syrupy cane sugar.
Cane sugar and, cane sugar, glass bottle. It just makes you feel...
The cold or warm?
The
cold.
Well, I thought so, but...
Or like, not like room temperature, like you wanted ice cold. All right.
Well, the Coke syrup is good for like an upset stomach, and carbonation can be good for you, too.
My mom, as a child, used to get Coke syrup in a spoon. Like, that's what they would get for upset stomachs. That's what her mom would give her.
That's so fucking Southern.
It is very Southern. They also drank Dr. Pepper warm.
Oh,
God.
All right. Thank you, Jeremy, for talking to us about the business of dying. If you are listening to this, you are most likely an atheist. And that means if you don't want your untimely and too soon death to be controlled by, let's say, maybe your religious family that you don't really haven't told you're an atheist or other things, I highly suggest making a will, making a living will directive and all that stuff as soon as possible. It sounds like it's hard, but it's not. Google it. I bet there's a thing that does it online with clicks.
It is.
And it's totally just that true. Simple. Yeah. So thank you very much. You guys can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Please be our patrons. We very much
Won't
appreciate it.
Won't you be our patrons?
Oh, you can see videos that we've made, all kinds of them. And also, I think there's two. And then also there's a couple of special
Country
episodes.
And
Happy New Year, everyone. We'll see
Happy
you next
Year.
Time and talk to you about more things.
Bye.
Thanks.
Rest in power, Carlotta.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Need more Geeks Without God? Go to our website, read our blog posts, find us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks Without God. Social media!
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Jeremy, have you signed our Bible yet?